All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, May 19th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
Davis.
comma James. And we're from DFSR.com.
People are calling me Davis now. It's kind of like I'm one of the guys.
Yo, Davis. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if I've ever heard anyone. I've known you for like a long time, 20 years. I don't think I've ever heard anyone call you that. We're from DFSR.com. You can head over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system. It's powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That'll give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. Still a couple slates of NBA left, it looks like. NFL, when the time comes, you're all covered, good to go. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and that'll have you covered. So go check it out. We're going to talk a full Friday of baseball today. There's a lot to get talking about, I guess, with pitching especially. A lot of good pitchers going. So I want to dive into it because we have a pretty long list of guys that we wanted to cover. While there are a lot of good pitchers, there is one that obviously stands out. Do you think Sale is the clear, even with a lot of these other names, and there's some good ones out there, especially at their price points, do you think Sale is still like the clear cash game play here going into tonight?
Well, I think so. I thought you were going to say Eddie Butler at first when you were talking about one name jumping
easy
above
Eddie Butler,
the rest.
Yeah.
I could settle on Chris Sale. Oh, he's on the early slate. I'm sorry. Don't get too excited. I feel really bad. I probably got people really excited about playing Eddie Butler, but it turns out he's playing at 220. No, I think Chris Sale is head and shoulders above the field here. Last time we had him on the podcast, that would be nice.
Last time
we talked about him, he was here in spirit. We were talking about him. Last time we talked about him on the podcast, we were kind of breathlessly exclaiming about how amazing he was. And then all he did was go out there and strike out 12 guys in 7 innings and up his K per 9 over 13 this season. He's only has one game this season with fewer than 10 strikeouts in the game. The guy's a complete animal. I mean, we've been calling him Kershaw Light. I might not be doing him justice at this point, especially given that he's been doing it in the AL. The xFIP is totally absurd, 2.3, 13 Ks per 9, like I said. He's just in a league of his own. And you just get him out of the unfriendly home park, and the thing gets even better. It's really hard to imagine not running him in cash games today.
In a game, in a slate where there's no cores around, so there's no like elevated prices really anywhere, you're getting pretty fair pricing across the industry. There's really just no reason to fade him really on either site. Like, it's not difficult to get a salary, and he's not overpriced by any means, especially on FanDuel, where he's only like in the 12,000 range. And that's just, yeah, exactly 12,000. That's just doable at this point for what he's going to offer. I don't think anyone, this isn't going out on any kind of limb here, and no one else has his kind of floor on this slate. So I don't think, yeah, it's really just not making headlines by saying that you should play him at all. He's a clear money line favorite. There are, like I said, there are some other good arms here, but we have him projected at DraftKings at least 29.79 points. The next closest guy is DeGrom at 23.86, so a full six points lower than Sale. So it's really in terms of raw points and even just the points per dollar you're getting on that elevated price, 13,000 on DraftKings, you're really just not getting anyone. There's really no one else in his league. And yeah, to say he's been better than Kershaw this year for sure. And the numbers he's putting up are sort of like Kershaw in his prime. The walks are a little bit higher. Like Kershaw, I mean, he was specifically known for just like not walking anybody. That's changed a little bit this year. He is offering a few more free passes, but even with 1.79 walks per nine, that's just, that was last year. 1.997 walks per nine. There's just totally elite numbers, 2.32 xFIP. So anyway, la 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 la. He's great. We should play him. He's the clear cash game play. The rest of the discussion probably is going to be if you want to fade him, and you can on a slate like this. There are some other big strikeout names here. If you want to fade him, or who to pair him with on DraftKings for starting pitchers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to, for sure.
Yeah, like those are, I think for at least cash game purposes, those are going to be, the starting pitcher two piece is more of the question than anything else. Where can we start looking for that second slot to sort of pair with Sale?
Yeah, I think right after him, I'm going to go down to Luis Severino on DraftKings. Severino is kind of in a similar situation to Sale today, where he goes from a very unfriendly home park in New York to a very almost, I think, an underrated pitcher's park in Tampa Bay. By our numbers, Tampa Bay has been one of the strongest pitcher's parks in all of the majors over the last few years. And Severino going there, it's going to be a ERA down for him, theoretically. So Severino's a guy also who's just been a little unlucky this season. His already okay 3.86 ERA trails his xFIP by nearly a whole run, double-digit strikeouts per nine, 2 walks per nine. He's just awesome, and he's really coming into his own. It stands to reason, too, as a 23-year-old pitcher that we might not even have seen the best of him. Like, you know, we'll talk about some other guys who we might be a little bit more smoke and mirrors, but with Severino, he's the real deal, and it's this is like one of those slates. We were less than excited last night going into it. I'm super excited about this evening slate, and on DraftKings in particular. You know, I oftentimes don't play DraftKings quite as much. I see it as a little bit more volatile with the two pitchers having to roster a poor pitcher in pitcher slot two. But if I can roll Sale and Severino, I'm going to feel great tonight.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I actually play DraftKings more because I see it. I see there's more of an edge for these very specific reasons, right? Like now tonight, you can actually make good choices sort of almost no matter where you go, because we can make pretty strong cases for all these starting pitcher twos. But Severino,
yeah, that's true.
He's so like you. This is kind of one of those situations where maybe DraftKings isn't as advantageous because you can maybe throw a dart at like some of these top six guys and probably feel pretty good about where you're going, with their at least their upside. But Severino's been bitten a little. He's gotten lucky with his BABIP, but he's gotten probably unlucky with his left on base percentage, which is I'm not sure which is influencing what more with the xFIP. Like it's hard to exactly tell why the xFIP is so far below the ERA unless it's home runs that I'm just missing, but. The home runs per nine, even those aren't really totally crazy. He's been a prospect. That's really not news to anybody that's following baseball, at least for this season and last season. So it's not like he's come out of nowhere to start putting up these numbers. Rays, K, the very most against right-handed pitching this season in the majors, 26.4% of the time. They're not going to do any lineup changes at this point that it's going to really decrease some of that K expectation. So really great spot for him. I suspect when it's all said and done, he probably will end up being the chalkier of the starting pitcher too, though because of some of the other names here, it probably will be less than it would have been like last night, let's say. Like if these were the only two guys going last night, it would have been like, I don't know, like a 90% start. Yeah. That's just not the case tonight. Another guy that kind of falls into that category, I would say in the Severino category in terms of price tier, is Alex Wood. He's an interesting guy. Well, I'd love to get your thoughts. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's been around for a while. He had been sort of moving between the bullpen and the starting lineup, and some injury stuff in LA with Hill specifically has allowed him to get more just more set starts here. I mean, is he like in that same Severino range of safe for this tier, considering some of the numbers he's put up this year?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out that I can't really see Alex Wood's name without getting that feeling of like a girl who broke up with you and you kind of never got over it, because last time he pitched, he was showing up in our DraftKings lineups and we were like, I don't know, dude, Alex Wood at Coors, like this can't possibly be right. We looked and like, you know, probably massaged it just a little bit to get him out of there. Goes out there, six innings, 10 Ks, no runs.
Oh, I stared at that all night. I watched that game and I thought, man.
Still a sore spot.
I was like, yeah, no. And when you say massage, what we did was we looked at if we thought we had fully accounted for his innings expectation because of the park. We do account for it by park, and we were a little concerned that we hadn't maybe fully accounted for it. And sometimes, like, that we might mean fully accounted for it. That can be the difference of, like, 5.5 innings to 5.4 innings, and that's all it takes, right? Like, something like...
Of course, yeah. This is a razor thin
line. Right, we're not,
and
like...
Actually, you're jumping on exactly where I'm going with this, which is to say, I think we actually analyzed the situation correctly. We just wound up not getting there, because the thing that you're concerned about Wood is, as the Dodgers continue to stretch him out, he's not really throwing that many pitches. I mean, he hasn't faced more than 23 total batters in a game this season. He threw just 88 pitches in that Coors game and stretched out over six innings. That's nothing. Like, very few pitchers in the majors will go six innings, strike out 10 on just 88 pitches and not see the seventh inning. So I think what we're seeing from the Dodgers right now is that this is their plan. Wood is not going to pitch more than six innings. And man, this season, that's been enough. Like, you've been pretty happy with it, but I think more likely it's that he winds up in between five and six innings on any given night. And that's just not very many innings. And especially now that he's starting, the price is going up a little bit. Not to say he's a bad play, but the price is going up a little bit. And I think, like, unfortunately, we really wanted him to be bad in that last quarter start. And then we could have probably saved 1,000 or 2,000 even. Like, we could have realized some really serious savings. But now that the cat's out of the bag a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised to see him as kind of like as just a stock five innings pitch guy until something dramatic changes, and that makes it pretty tough for you to have ownership on 9,400.
And that's an organizational thing, right? The Dodgers are across the board very cautious with their pitch counts, really for everybody. And so it's not like they're just handling him with kid gloves. They do this Urias. They've done it with Hill with the blister. Kershaw, not to the same extent, but he's a little bit more established. But even he, I don't think, has run into the 110 pitch count. I had to double check that. I could be wrong about that. But as an organization, they across the board, even Brandon McCarthy, these guys will go out and just throw 80 pitches as starters, and they're happy. Just, I don't know if they're waiting for the playoffs, and it's probably smart just to manage this stuff early. So yeah, if you're throwing 86 pitches, there's way more ways for that to go bad than to go right. Just because
you can be good and have an 86 pitch count and not make it out of the fifth inning. Like,
right.
That just happens. Like, you can run long counts. You can walk one guy. Like, that's not unheard of. And the fact with Wood is that he's not an elite control guy, kind of like Sale. He's not terrible, but his career average is around 2.7 walks per nine. It's not super, super low. Like, I don't think he's a lock to pitch six innings, and not that anyone really is. I think people tend to overrate how many innings pitched people will get on an, or pitchers get on an average basis. But yeah, I really like Wood. I think he's an excellent option. I'd be tempted to call him a great GPP play. I still think he is, but I think a lot of people are kind of hip to it now after his kind of noteworthy start against the Rockies.
Yeah, so it's a good point about like that Rockies game. Like, you would have just loved for it to have gone the other way and get him at like 84, because him at 8,400 would probably be
Be no-brainer.
No-brainer even at the sixth innings, but now you're paying more for him than Severino, and that's a tough spot to be in. A guy that's actually priced above those two, and rightfully so, is DeGrom. He's facing the Angels today. He's another guy with the strikeouts. He's taken a huge jump in strikeouts this year. He was like sort of like a 9.5 strikeout per inning guy last year, and he's jumped it this year up to almost 12.5, 12.39 Ks per nine. Walks are up a little bit too, which has probably hurt the ERA more than anything. BABIP up a little bit too. Do you see him in that elite level? Maybe, you know, not in the Sale level, but maybe a half a tier below, maybe a full half, three quarters a tier below Sale in terms of just like what he can do with strikeouts. And another guy also with, I mean, clear ace pedigree.
Yeah, no, I think DeGrom is a great pitcher. It's kind of weird to analyze him because last season, this happens with pitchers all the time, but when there's ever injury concerns and guys miss a few starts, it's hard to trust the numbers from last season as opposed to the body of work. And this is kind of the direction things were heading for DeGrom. You know, from 2014 to 2015, he added half a K per nine. He lowered his walks by almost a full one per nine, and everything else followed, right? Like, he was excellent. Then last season, he comes out, he's kind of got some bad, goofy starts based on the injury thing, kind of never gets it going. Just 24 starts total, goes 7-8, etc. And people are kind of off it. And this year it's kind of weird because the xFIP at an all-time low, but the ERA at an all-time high. I don't know exactly what to make of it because this reminds me of actually the conversation we were having yesterday where it looks like he's, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul a little bit. He's striking out more guys, but he's also walking a lot more guys. His walks are at an all-time high. But I do think that when the BABIP comes back down, which it definitely will, we'll see DeGrom settle in around like a 3-ish ERA, and he's a little bit underpriced compared to that right now. And I think he actually, more so than some of the other names here, I think that people have fatigue on DeGrom. They kind of think they know what he is, and they aren't as interested in him as they used to be. I think they're going to be very excited about guys like Severino and Wood tonight. And the fact is that DeGrom just has more pedigree. Like, we're not even convinced any of those other guys are actually even as good as DeGrom, even though they've been better than him this season. So, yeah, very interested in DeGrom. I can't talk myself into a good reason to play him for cash game purposes, just because there's so many other good options. And even in the starting pitcher two slot, I don't see that it's feasible to roll him and Sale. So, and Severino is just such a tremendous value. But yeah, going up against the Angels, bottom five team in the league, WOBA against right-handed pitchers, I think they're serious.
Yeah, where he might be robbing that Peter to pay Paul is with velocity. He's throwing the ball about a mile and a half faster on the fastball than he was last year, which is a pretty significant uptick. Especially he's throwing the ball at the hardest he's ever thrown in his career this season. The fastball on average is up over 95. It's never been over that number for any point. I mean, he's only been around for 4 years. Feels like he's been around for longer. But so I don't know if it's that increase in velocity, which is leading to more Ks, but also just like overthrowing at times. I'm not like a pitching coach in this, but if you look at the Pitch FX stuff, which I've been doing a lot more this year, just trying to figure out where some of these huge changes come from. And usually, almost every single time you see some of these huge changes, you can look at Pitch FX and find something that's different from like the rest of their career, right? Like good or bad, which I find to be a pretty useful stat to like understand if it's sustainable or not. So I don't know if at some point they say, you know, hey, like just cool down a little bit and locate more than just like overthrowing. I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but there's definitely been a clear uptick in velocity along all pitches. And when you see that, hey, look, this is a game of just millimeters. When you see that uptick, and maybe he's just not used to throwing that hard, maybe you just are missing your spots by the little inch or two that you need every time, and that's what's happening with the walks. I love the upside on him. If you were to figure it out for a start, I think you're getting an insane discount on him. Like, if you wanted to fade Sale tonight, and I think that's reasonable to do in tournaments, you could easily roster DeGrom and kind of hope for the same sort of strikeout upside along with without paying the extra, you know, $1,500 more or something like that. So I love DeGrom here.
Yeah, I mean, you don't love the matchup from
no, that's the bad part. That's right.
Tough to strike out, but they are not very good, and there is deep innings strikeout or innings potential here. And actually, you know, it's kind of weird the way the sites measure this stuff, but going into a National League park, their pitcher will have to bat, and that makes a difference for strikeouts too. So might be a better spot than it appears on.
Yeah, no. Once you get past, if you can get past Trout in this lineup, and you're kind of good to go. Right, there's no, I mean, Calhoun to some degree, but not really. And the rest of this lineup, like Maben, no thanks.
Hall of Famer Albert Pujols.
he's a shell. Simmons can't hit at all. Doesn't strike out much, but really can't hit. And then you get Espinoza and Maldonado. I'm assuming that's gonna be their lineup at the bottom of the lineup. So very, very weak. Love DeGrom in this spot. Love the numbers on him. If you can just limit the walks for a game, and this is exactly the team that you would want to pitch the contact to, I think, because there's really not many of these guys can do much with it once it's there. All right, so those are the clear top four guys. We sail DeGrom, Severino, Wood, not necessarily in that order. There are a couple other guys that I wanted to mention here that I think are pretty interesting. I would love to get your thoughts on Nathan Karnes. Karnes is a guy has always kind of been, I mean, I don't know, he wasn't like a prospect, came, was with the Royals, was with the Rays, and Rays have been pretty good about developing young pitching early, especially the guys that they bring to the majors. But now with the Royals, he's another guy that is just doing different things this year than he has for his career, specifically striking more guys out. What are your thoughts on Karnes here?
Yeah, I think Karnes is interesting because, you know, we were talking about him yesterday in kind of preparation for today. And when we were digging through the PitchFX data, his fastball percentage has gone down every year since he first came up in the majors. So from 67%, admittedly, in just 12 innings, down to 50% now. And that's a marked decrease. You know, that's a pitcher who's looking at what's going on and saying, for whatever reason, this isn't working for me, right? So he's been a guy who's, it's always interesting because his PitchFX data and his results have definitely kind of changed in line the way you mentioned earlier, but he's always kind of flirted with sort of being a little bit above average for his age, but never quite being good. And so I think he's just kind of off radar. So he was off my radar until we were preparing for this and the projection system was spitting out some good numbers. He's had some ERA difficulties for sure, but one thing he is showing is pretty good K per nine upside. And I'll tell you this, on a night where Severino and Wood are pitching, no one is going to own this guy. And the fact that he has top 10 Ks per nine means that if you want to get separation in big tournaments, this could actually be a way that you could do some serious damage.
No, I think you can like sort of like double up on guys like DeGrom and him and like get really like and kind of just, again, I say hope. I'm using that word.
Oh, you're going deep, Daniel. I think you'll be like the only team that does that, basically.
But I think you're okay. I think you have upside doing it, right? Like, I think you have.
Okay, I agree.
You have a scenario of, you know, Minnesota is a team that will strike out. They have guys in the middle of that lineup. Sano strikes out a lot. Buxton is at the bottom, so he's not in the middle. He strikes out a ton. Vargas strikes out a ton. They do have guys in there that will K. So I think that, you know, again, Mauer doesn't strike out a lot. You get even Dozier strikes out, though. So, like, you get Minnesota can give you problems. Like, they're a good hitting team. All those guys I mentioned, not maybe Buxton so much, but all those guys are very good hitters. But they also are sort of like three true outcome kind of guys too. Like, you can really rack up the K's against this team. So I like Karnes. The one pitch that he's decreased his fastball offering, he's increased his changeup. And the changeup specifically is the thing he's throwing way more this year. He threw it 10% of the time last year, 15% of the time this year. That's been that plus the fastball decreasing looks to me like the very thing leading to more strikeouts. And again, if you can point to a specific change a pitcher has made that is working, that's a good sign, right? Like, you're just not, you're not maybe just thinking that he's running hot with this way. He's made a specific change. I really like it. There's a lot of ways to go, I think, for tournaments tonight. Just all the guys we mentioned. And it's really rare to get, I would consider, very high upside K guys who are not going to be owned. Like, that is just not something that really happens anymore, right? Like, you just, mostly because there just aren't enough of them and they just kind of stagger all the days they pitch. So they're just not there. But I think there's just a lot of ways to go in tournaments tonight. Before we cover some of the hitters going tonight, tell us about one of our sponsors.
Sure, I'd love to talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor has been an advertiser with us for about a year now, and that shows in this industry some of their staying power. They're kind of cool because they're kind of a bootstrapped organization focused on kind of growing small and giving contests to the more casual players that are out there. And they've done a really, really nice job of it so far. They've been running weekly MLB free rolls They run a $2 daily free roll every single day. If you just want to get a hang of the software, maybe win a couple bucks that you can put into action on their site in some of the bigger contests. So the other thing that they do nicely is that they do have one entry max contest, a lot of those, and they have a kind of a flatter and deeper prize payout, and that's great for the beginner fantasy player. So yeah, fantasyfactor.com, check them out, promo code DFSR. You can get a $5 entry ticket to any contest that you'd like, no strings attached. So fantasyfactor.com, DFSR, we'll see you there.
Awesome. So let's talk about some stacks for today. It's always a weird day when, again, every team's playing, so there's always opportunity. But we listed a lot of pitchers, and there's actually a couple guys we didn't even mention who are pretty good. Like Charlie Morton's been pretty good this year. Taiwan Walker, Jose Quintana's kind of struggled, but is kind of a guy. Gio Gonzalez, Waka, Aaron Sanchez. My point being, when the list of very good pitchers who we talked about is pretty long, and then the list of above average pitchers is also long, it kind of does cut down on some of the stacking sort of upside that you have, or at least that you feel really great about going into, just because a lot of good arms could keep the run totals pretty low tonight just across the industry. And that's reflected in the Vegas totals. There's really the Vegas totals are kind of trending pretty low really across the entire schedule, with most of the teams facing good pitchers and just being in a combination of also just being out of some of the really great parks. But if I wanted to take a look at a couple different teams to stack, where can I start tonight? Teams in a good spot.
The team I'm looking at right now is the Tigers. I think there's some interesting value situations going on there that we can dive into for a second. Obviously, Miguel Cabrera sidelined right now, was a late scratch a couple nights ago, didn't return for last night's game, now in the DL. That's not great whenever you're thinking about a Tiger stack. Obviously, he provides both a source of guys on base to knock in and can knock you in the right spot too. But JD Martinez has been really something else this season. As I was looking at his stats, first I saw his slugging percentage, and I was like, I thought that was his OPS. It was 1,400. I was like, man, 1,400, JD Martinez is killing it. Oh, and then he has an on-base percentage of 680. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to go on and be like 50% better than peak Barry Bonds or anything, but it's interesting to note, and teams are starting to respect it. You know, he walked three times last night. Still went out there and hit a home run the only time they did pitch to him. So Martinez is absolutely on fire. Still not super expensive. I think our system and others aren't going to quite know what to make of him just yet because, like, he's always been good, but never been anything like this. So I do think that the 900 OPS he showed last season is probably legit at this point, and he's just a good value on 4,000. And then, of course, you throw in the man everyone loves to hate, which is Nick Martinez. Mostly I love to hate Nick Martinez. I've been talking about how bad he's been for years and years, it feels like. Like, it actually feels like for as long as I've been a father.
I think since we started the site. Like, we must have started the site, like, right when he started making Major League Baseball, like, debuts. Like,
yeah, because I remember all that 2014 season. That was our first. We started in 2013. 2014 was our first Major League Baseball season. And we were looking at the guy and being like, he's got less than 5 Ks per 9 and 3.5 walks per 9. They have to blow him up. And since then, we've stacked teams against him every single time and managed to get it right like once. So I remember that, that one night when we got it right. But he's actually worse this season than ever. I mean, 4.5 Ks per 9. Still not walking anybody, but that really puts him in a spot. It's perfect for guys like JD Martinez, who maybe a little bit more of a free swinger, who can really bar up the ball and hit it a long way. So I think all the Tigers are in pretty good spots tonight. Yeah, they're typically better against left-handed pitching, but as I've noted many times on the podcast before, that matters a lot more when there's a guy who's a strikeout pitcher, because sure, Martinez is going to get that extra split second of deception that comes from a righty-righty matchup, but it's not like Ian Kinsler or something is not going to be able to hit a guy who strikes out fewer than 5 for 9. So I love the Tigers. I love that first four spots in the order, especially if more value kind of trickles up towards the top. Guys like Martinez, guys like Upton, if they tick up a little bit in the lineup, then you could see even more value than normal from them, and I just think it's a nice stack spot.
Yeah, every once in a while they've hit Collins higher up in the order. I'm not sure if they're going to do that now that they just have like their better hitters sort of concentrating at the top.
Martinez, like, back, probably not.
That's what I mean. It doesn't make a lot of sense to go platoon there when the guys at the top are just clearly better than Collins, but you could see it happen. They every once in a while will hit them up there. Now, the Tigers, I think the only thing that keeps the Tigers off of just being a major stack tonight is the fact that they're just expensive, right? Like, if you're playing Sale at 12,000, it's going to be hard to pay 4 for Martinez and 3-5 for Kinsler and things like that. That's really the only thing stopping it. But this is where you sort of take you maybe take a one-off from the team, or this is where you definitely want to stack in tournaments and take one of those cheaper pitchers. The other team that falls into that category, at least for me, is the Dodgers tonight. They're playing Justin Nicolino. I know Nicolino has a low ERA this year. I mean, he's only six innings, so take that for what it's worth, 1.5 ERA. It might look on paper like he pitched well the first game. He didn't. It was really – he struck out five guys and walked I'm trying to do the math in my head. He walked four. So I was doing it off the cape or nine.
It went great, just, by the way. It went great. Whatever you were doing went flawless.
Yeah, no, it's just when I'm doing mental math, I just can't quite get there by dividing by nine.
It's the mental math podcast with James and Doug, where we try to do mental math. So let's get right into it.
He stinks. But so I think that you can easily stack against him here. Dodgers will play platoons depending on the righty lefty matchup. Worth noting, I think Justin Turner probably won't play tonight because he was taken out of the game last night late with a hamstring issue. So he's probably out of the lineup, but that should move. A guy like Franklin Gutierrez is up. You could see Kiki Hernandez maybe hit to the top of the lineup. They've hit Chris Taylor up there a couple times. They have righties that can do something here against Nicolino. So it's late. I think we'll probably have the lineup in time, so I'm not too worried about that for a late lock. I think almost no matter what the lineup comes in as, you're going to get some kind of cheap value because all the guys I just mentioned are below 3,000 on FanDuel, and one of them is going to hit like number one and possibly number three, if that makes sense. So no matter which one it is, I think you get nice value on the Dodgers. They have the second highest implied run line after the Tigers tonight, although I'm noticing that may have even shifted a little bit while we were talking. So either way, both those teams are coming in right around the five mark, except that the Dodgers as a team are just coming cheaper across the board. So sure. Wait for that lineup to come in. See how they play their platoons against Nicolino. He is not a good pitcher. I do think that probably ends up being slightly more popular stack only because of the price and the fact that you have Sale out there. After those two teams, any sort of offbeat ones that we can take a look at here? There are some other bad pitchers going.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that Vegas is keying in on is the Pirates. I think they're actually make for an interesting stack option tonight just because the Pirates are pretty top-heavy, and that actually winds up making their overall numbers look a bit worse than maybe they would look if you only looked at the top five guys in the lineup. The big concern for the Pirates, obviously, this season is the continued decline of Andrew McCutchen. Last year, he went from a 900 OPS guy down to a 770 OPS guy. This year, it's drifted down even further into the sub-700 range. It's hard for me to believe that that's the reality. I mean, he's 30, so it's not like he's young, but he's not super old either. And yeah, maybe he's lost some of the power that he had during his peak times, but I still think he's a potential, 20-10 sort of fantasy guy, and you're getting him at a very steep discount tonight. Additionally, you can get guys like Josh Bell, who's flexing a lot of power this season, four home runs in his last six games, three in his last four, 860 OPS right now. Maybe you slide in Josh Harrison, who can also do a little bit in the middle of that lineup there. And really, it's just the pitcher that they're up against. You know, we talk about this often, but if you only need, so say you're stacking teams tonight, right? And you only need to grab three guys, grabbing the heart of the order against a guy like Jeremy Hellickson just has big upside potential. Hellickson this season is just the same old bad pitcher he's always been. We talked about him every time he started, but last time we talked about him against the Nationals, he went out there, gave up two home runs, struck out just one guy in five innings. Like he's basically pitching batting practice that perfectly suits the skill sets of guys like Harrison, McCutchen, and Josh Bell, who, aside from Bell, are all better against left-handed pitching. I still think that they could put up a big numbers tonight. And while I wouldn't go too deep on the Pirates, I think you can grab two or three guys from the middle of that order and feel pretty good about it.
I should have mentioned that the other team that is in that same implied run total range as the Tigers and the other team I mentioned, the Dodgers, is the Nationals. The difference also with the Nationals is they are very expensive, right? Like if Turner's 4,000, Harper's now up to 5,000, which is just going to be probably his settled in price for the rest of the season. So you're really, while that's a great spot for them against R.A. Dickey, you're just not getting any savings on them, but they're another great stack that you can run out there pretty safely because they basically have a 1-5 in their order, even like 1-6 if you want to go all the way down to Rendon, that can do real damage against you, and they can pile on runs as a team. So I probably was remiss by just not mentioning them before in that same other group of the Tigers and Dodgers. Hey, buddy, thanks. You can scold me off the air, but I think you can also target them if you're taking just a little, maybe a cheaper approach to pitching. The last thing I want to talk about here real quick was the Diamondbacks. They're facing Jared Weaver. Jared Weaver just continues to be Jared Weaver, man. I just simply don't get it. Now he's actually running bad on the ERA. Like, so in the past, like he actually ran a little good on the ERA and it made him look a little bit better. Like last year, he just ran, He was a 5 ERA, but he was actually a 5.64 XFIP guy, so all bad.
Yeah, got a little lucky in the left on base department.
This year, he's like, guys, I'm getting so unlucky this year. My ERA is around 6. I'm really more like a 5 ERA guy because his ERA is 6, and the XFIP is 5.09. So he's probably just bemoaning his bad luck all the way up and down.
That's pretty unfair.
I mean, he's awful, right? Now, so, which actually has me a little confused because it has to be only the park here. The Diamondbacks run line is really like in that 4.3-ish range. Weaver has got to be the worst pitcher on the slate here. Nick Martinez throwing his hands up in the air, doesn't know what he needs to do to be the worst. But Weaver,
yeah, I don't know. Jeremy Hellickson, there's some bad pitchers going tonight.
Weaver strikes out less than 5 batters per 9, walks 2. He's allowing an unreal 3 home runs per 9 thing right now, though. So that's probably actually, even for his badness, probably not sustainable. I think the Diamondbacks.
Slightly rich man's Jeremy Hellickson.
I think the Diamondbacks they're still coming pretty cheap. They're a team who still. Time and time again proves that they don't understand what it means to make a major league batting lineup. Like, they don't understand who should hit where, and it hasn't actually mattered that they changed some managers and done some other stuff in the meantime. Like, it seems like an organizational philosophy to say, like, we simply don't understand some very basic metrics in baseball.
We like fast guys at the top of the lineup, period.
And we're going to show you, by the lineups we put in. We're never going to come out and say it explicitly that we don't understand some of these numbers, but when we hit Nick Ahmed second and Brandon Drury seventh against the lefty, like, we're just telling you that we've never looked at a stat ever in our life. So
OBP, you know.
As much as I want to always try to project who their lineups are going to be, and I want to believe it's going to be Blanco and then Peralta, and then with Lamb hitting fourth, Goldschmidt, he's the one guy that pretty much stays, and Tomas, I guess, will stay around there, but they'll just throw guys like they played some guy like Ronaldo Torres the other night. They hit him lead off. I don't know. Anyway, the long story short is whoever has the blessing to hit at the top of this lineup tonight against Jared Weaver, and I'm hoping it's Blanco and Peralta, I could see them being just kind of chalk plays. Blanco at 2-4 and Peralta at 2-7, even with the bad park in San Diego, really decreasing some of that power expectation. Those two guys would be pretty much lock and load guys for me, considering their prices and what it allows you to pay you for pitching. So
I think on the Diamondbacks, it is worth noting they have the top five OBP, or I'm sorry for my stupid joke, they have a top five OPS against right-handed pitching this season, but they have the worst in the majors when they go on the road. So I think that could be what maybe Vegas is keying in on, whatever their algorithms are up to. They could be looking at that 269 WOBA on the road and thinking like, well, maybe it's just they're just a product of their home park. So,
well, it's going to make sense. They're going to be worse pretty much anywhere but Colorado, because I think maybe Cincinnati, like all the other parks.
This isn't compared to their home thing. This is like just in a vacuum, right? So they are horrible when they go out on the road this season. But just like we were talking about with the Pirates, like, you don't need all of the Diamondbacks in your stack. You don't need the eighth hitters and whatever. Like, I think guys like Goldschmidt, he can hit a home run in San Diego. So, I think they're a definitely worthwhile stack. But I'm just more speaking to, you were confused about the line. I think that's where it comes from.
All right, that's it for us today. DFSR.com is the site. Go to there, /MLB, to get a free 3-day trial to our projection system. That's powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We'll be back again early next week talking some more baseball. Buddy, enjoy your Friday night on the system working those baseball lineups.
Will do, man. Can't wait.